give you 20 minutes for the presentation and then about 20 minutes for the discussions. I'm sure that you'll do. And over to your colleagues.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Mthiwe Damane Nkosana. I am the Deputy Military Ombudsman and currently the Acting Military Ombudsman. I am with the Chief of Operations, Advocate Dingi Dube, next to me, and I am with the Chief of Corporate Support, Mr. Poma Halimele, and I'm with the planning manager, Annalise Belgemeen. Today we are going to do a strategic overview of the Office of the Military Ombudsman. We are going to give an overview of the organizational structure and performance against targets and our overview of governance structures. And we are going to do a detailed presentation of our operational statistical report as well as the expenditure analysis.
I'll suggest that you just launch into the performance information and you skip all the first two pages about the scope, sort of about the strategic overview, organizational placement and the structure of the office. I just launch into it.
Output. Some targets we have met, others we have not met. We've got about two where we have exceeded targets, and of course about three where the target output is not at the level where it should be. So I would highlight, Chairperson, the first target that is in relation to compliance with our policies. It's the one target which we did not meet. So the annual performance target was 80%, but we ended off the year at 69.3%. We will talk about the reasons why we were not able to meet the target. And I think the second one, Jackson, is self-explanatory, the one target that we met. And we also couldn't meet the key performance indicator number 3. That is in relation to our organizational structural design. And insofar as the operations is concerned, Jackson, we had a target of 75% for finalization of complaints, but we ended off the year with 47%, which is also another area of concern for us. But we can also talk about what interventions we have done so far to improve the performance targets. But insofar as the provision of efficient and effective legal services, this is one target to which we have exceeded. The annual target was 70%, but we achieved 71%. I think I should also highlight the target that relates to our stakeholder opinion. This one covers the stakeholder engagement, community outreach. It's one indicator that the office performed very well. We set ourselves a target of 90%, but we ended at 98%. And then in relation to our HR, compliance with our HR plan, the finance, as well as IT and security, those are targets which we did not meet. Now, the performance is good when you look at, for example, we set ourselves a target of 95%, but we ended up at 90.2% insofar as compliance with the HR plan is concerned. We are saying it's good because when we talk about this structure, Chairperson, the vacancy, you understand why we're not able to meet the HR plan. And also perhaps I should highlight around the compliance with our security policy. We as an office last financial year able to appoint a security manager within, I think, the last 6 months of the year. So the first 6 months, that position was vacant, and I think that's impacted on the overall annual performance. And just a reflection on the governance, the meetings that the office has had. So these are the governance structures within the military ombudsman. We've got an executive committee meeting, which is constituted by the military ombudsman, the deputy military ombudsman, as well as the chief director operations. So those are the three members. But the other members of management are due invited to attend. And then we've got that structure is chaired by the military ombudsman. And we also have a military ombudsman dashboard on a quarterly basis. That is when in the operations section we present the cases to the military ombudsman so that he can be able to provide the necessary intervention. Then we've got a structure, a management committee structure, which is chaired by the deputy military ombudsman. That is where all the business unit managers meet to report on progress made. Within the operations environment, we've got our monthly operations meeting, which is really discussing progress on cases. What is also important about this is that we also have monthly meetings with the liaison officers within the Defence Force. That's a structure that was set up to assist the Defence Force in the implementation of the report of the military ombudsman. And of course, within corporate support, they meet on a fortnightly basis. At the end of the financial year, they managed to have 18 of those meetings. Now, in the last financial year, Chair, there were three risks that were identified in the office. The first one was that in the Military Ombudsman Act, currently it does not address the governance and accountability framework. And that then is what is hampering the office from obtaining its institutional and financial independence. But how the office intends to mitigate against that risk is that they are currently, we are in the process of commencing with the review of the Military Ombudsman Act, which will hopefully in the future address that. And the second risk is which we believe is a standalone risk, is the question of independence of the office. We believe that the credibility of the office, sometimes it is being questioned in regards to whether, how independent are we from the Defence Force. The last one which we identified was a risk in the previous financial year. Some of this might have already been resolved now, some of the risks, but we had identified the fact that we were reporting manually and they didn't have a case management system for the recording of accurate statistics. And the response at the time was that we need to have a credible and reliable database to register our complaints. Now, Chair, just to take you through the statistics insofar as complaints are concerned. Because the military ombudsman has just finished 7 years, which we regard as the first year of operation, first term of operation, the first 7 years, we thought we should also reflect the stats for the previous 7 years, and so that you can see where we started. So, in 2013, 2012 to 2013, for an example, new complaints that we received in the year were 307, and by the end of the year, the office had finalized 117 and carried over 190. And perhaps just to look at where we are now from 2018-19, is we received a total of 390. We had brought forward 135 from the previous financial year. So the total caseload was 525. And insofar as our performance is concerned, we were able to finalize 246, and we closed off with 279. So for the past 7 years, the total number of complaints which the office has dealt with is 2,444. Chairperson, of the 246 matters that we have finalized, we have given you an analysis of how were they finalized. For an example, 63 complaints were dismissed. That is, the Ministry of Mudu will conduct an investigation and determine that the matter has no merit, and the complaint will then be dismissed. Then we've got a total of 26 matters that were upheld. Then I think it's important that we also highlight the number of referrals. We had referred about 46 complaints to relevant institutions that are able to assist. We are finding also that there's quite a high number of members that approach the office before they have exhausted the internal grievance procedures within the Defence Force. And so there were about 46 of them, which we then referred back so that they must exhaust the internal grievance procedures before approaching the office. In relation to who is complaining to the Minister Ombud, so our Act allows us to deal with complaints from current members, former members of the Defence Force, as well as members of the public. Now, in the last financial year, the large majority of complaints came from the current members of the Defence Force. It is sitting at about 66%. And then it is followed by former members. Both are complaining about their conditions of service. Former members at 31%. And only 3% of the complaints came from ordinary members of the public. In relation to just the categorization of the complaints, so if we look at the period from 2017-18 until to date, to see what are the issues that the Defence Force members are complaining about. The issue relating to promotion, demotion, as well as service benefits, we find a large percentage of complaints that we get relate to those categories. We also are getting complaints about service termination. Other members complain that their termination was done prematurely, or it was unfair, or irregular. There are very few complaints that we get about the official conduct of members of the Defence Force. Now, this is not surprising to us when you consider the fact that members of the public, complaints from members of the public, are only at 3%. Now, Chairperson, with regards to the complaints per province, so where are our complainants situated? The large percentage come from Gauteng, as we can see there. It is then followed by Western Cape, then Limpopo and Free State. We are getting lowest number of complaints from Mpumalanga. In relation to the gender, comes as no surprise here that 72% complaints that are coming from males. We think it is in correlation to the defense force itself, because males are in the majority. Chairperson, once we've done the investigations and the reports have been issued, so we wanted to report to the committee as to what is the status of those reports. Now, 7 of the 14 reports have been accepted by the minister and have been implemented. Then we've got about 3 reports where the minister had referred back just with a question. They relate to the implementation of OSD in the family. And there are 2 reports which the Defence Force has not implemented as yet. The 2 other reports we're still awaiting feedback from the minister regarding implementation. Who is complaining in relation to their rank of both the current and former members? If you look at the majority of complaints, Chairperson, on the current members, they come from the non-commissioned officers, which is followed by those who are occupying senior ranks within the military, within the defense force. Senior officers, we find, are also complaining to the military ombud. And then in relation to the complaints as per the arm of service, the army, we get a lot of complaints against the army. Also here, there's no surprise because it is big in terms of size. So about 235 complaints were against the army. This is followed by the SEMS, which is about 74 of complaints. The Air Force comes in third. We get very few complaints against the SA Navy. And the members of the public, as we say, complain the least. So, insofar as our stakeholder interactions are concerned, Chairperson, quite a lot of work was done in the previous financial year. For example, the military ombud started engagement with the city of Cape Town ombud at the time, who were envisaging concluding an MOU with them to collaborate on outreach activities. The office also met with the members of the Vembe District Municipality. The military ombud engaged with the executive mayor of that municipality. We also hosted, which I believe is the highlight for the previous financial year, the 10th ICOF, which is held annually. So the military ombud is a member of DCAF, which is the Democratic Control of Armed Forces. And for the first time, the conference was held in Africa, hosted by our office. Insofar as our international relations is concerned, is that the military ombud had conducted a number of visits which arises from the organizations that he is a member of. The first one being the African Ombuds and Mediators Association, in short, IOMA. And he also engaged with the joint UN and AU framework. He attended the foundation meeting, the DCAF Foundation Council meeting in Geneva. And there was also a training that was organized by IOMA in Rwanda, which had a representative of the office attending. The military ombud conducted a number of visits to certain countries, for an example, Lesotho, Botswana, and Mozambique, that to discuss the possibility of those countries establishing a similar ombud institution. Chairperson, just to talk about our outreach program. Now, within the year, we were able to conduct a total of 47 outreaches in different communities within the various provinces. You know, for example, we had only one in Gauteng. The reason we did not do a lot in Gauteng is because already, as we stand, a number of complaints come from Gauteng. So we wanted to focus on the areas where we are receiving the least number of complaints. Quite a lot of outreaches were done in Limpopo, 15, and in Northwest, 7, and so on, etc. Now, the military ombuds, because of the nature of the work that we do, is that not everyone will be satisfied with the outcome of our investigation. So there are times when complainants are not happy when we dismiss their matters, even where we believe the decision was correct. In terms of the Military Ombuds Act, they are entitled to take our report on review, and we found that to date there has been a number of those complainants who have approached the court seeking to have our report reviewed. In addition to the stakeholder outreach work that we have done, the Military Ombuds has also engaged and signed a number of MOUs with institutions that do similar work. Just to highlight a few, we've got a MOU with the Public Service Commission. We have an MOU with the Defense Force Service Commission, as well as the Public Protector and the Human Rights Commission. On an annual basis, we go through a process of reviewing to check relevance of those MOUs. Now, that concludes the part of the presentation relating to our operation. Now, when it comes to corporate support, Jefferson, on HR issues, these are our employment equity figures. The office is doing well, I must say, when it comes to the gender representativity. The majority of employees are African female, and we only have one, which is followed by African male, and then we only have one Asian and two whites, one male and one female. And we also gave you a sense of where are they located within the different business units. In the executive office, the total number is 7, and then in operations, it's 34, and their corporate support is 19. Now, these figures, Chair, relate to the total structure of 89. So when you look at our report on the vacancies, the vacant posts, the approved structure allows the office to have 89, but currently the warm body is 60, and because of the underfunding, so we are not able to appoint and fill the structure. Apologies, I'm not sure what's happening now. It seems to have frozen on me. Okay. Thank you. So for the just a reflection on our financial management, the issue of underfunding, particularly in relation to the post chair, is really an area of concern for the office. The office, of course, is engaging with the Secretary of Defense as well as National Treasury with a view to allocating an additional budget. What has been a success, though, which we believe assists us in realizing independence, is that the office has been allocated its own line item within the Defense Force budget. So our budget is ring-fenced within that of the Defense Force. And the issue relating to how we use the budget. We wanted to highlight, for example, the hosting of the conference, the ICOF, is the budget allocation was about 900,000, and we've done very well because by the end of it we had spent at least 870,000 of that. But Chair, the concern, and I think we can't overemphasize this, is that we are currently underfunded when it comes to, you know, the employees. We've got 60 warm bodies, but the budget that we have caters for 59, and over the years there's a decrease in the compensation of employees' budget. I think that brings us to the end of the presentation, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the presentation. Colleagues, the presentation is before us, and let me just, I mean, if you go to slide number, on page 9, all right, sorry, operations, implementation and non-implementation of recommendations. Number of reports referred back by, rejected or referred back by the minister. And but in the same breath, you talk about your reviewability of a decision. In other words, you can't just dismiss it. You must take it to court and have it reviewed and set aside if you are not happy with it. Now, I'm trying to understand how the two sit together. You know, and is it a reviewable decision, or it's still subject to the minister saying yes to it or no to it? And two, when you give us complaints by province, I thought you'd give us a bit of your own analysis to say Gauteng seems to be leading. Are they cry babies? And Mpumalanga is 7. I thought your analysis would say no, they're not cry babies. And from the trend suggests the following 1, 2, 3, so that we understand why the distribution is as it is on our thing. I guess it will give us a bit of insight into the issues that there are. And number 3, and you talk about your statistical review over the period of 7 years, that you received a total of 2,444 complaints, and then you give us your progress to date. But you are not giving us the why. For example, let's take the last year, the year in question, 1819, right, the year under review. You received 525, and you were able to finalize 246, right? And those remaining are 279. You give us an account of those finalized, but you're not telling us why, for example, you have not done the 279. Maybe they were difficult cases and they require more investigation, and it's a why, you know, and see, because the number keeps not growing per se, but if you look at the 190 in 2012, 2013, and then you 2013, 2014, 14, 15, 16, 15, 16, 16, 17, 18, 19 financial year. I'm not too sure if the 279 speaks to an is an accumulative figure, or it's, but they look like there's not accumulative figure. But you're not telling us, for example, what then happened to the cases that remained active in the previous year, so that we understand what is going to happen to the 279 for this financial year going forward. And and then the last point from my side, and but I leave this to Mutle. I know he was going to ask it. The Military Ombuds Act that does not address the governance and the accountability framework, hampering the office in obtaining institutional and financial independence. It's not the first time this matter has come up. We discussed it before. We even sought a legal opinion on the matter. And I'm sure you, the legal opinion, you saw it. You have not seen it. I see. There is a legal opinion that we took, and perhaps we'll share it ahead of the meeting on the issue. But just say a bit more on it. You've raised it as a problem statement, but we have not unpacked it, so that we journey with you through the problem. I think I will leave it as that for me, and then leave it for the colleagues. And the colleagues? Yes, Honorable Mutle, and then another hand. Right, and Honorable Schellenberg, another hand. All right, we've got the two hands so far.
All right, thank you, Chair. Maybe on the first point, or one point that you have raised on the operation, particularly the cases they've dealt with over a term of 7 years. Maybe if they can clarify to us, Mina. Looking at the table, it tells me that they are recurring these cases. They don't deal with them year by year and conclude. And those that were not concluded over a particular financial year, then they are left hanging somewhere. They take them to the next financial year, so forth and so on. Which in my calculation, it says over a period of that particular term, at least they were able to address around 88.6% of cases that were raised, and 11.4% is remaining, which I think they need to be applauded for that, because 88% is this distinction. Yeah, 88.6% is distinction. So I think they've done well. If the recurring method is what they apply in terms of what they are reporting here. So, but an ideal is to conclude these cases as fast as possible, because there might be a case of one case that might be carried from the 2012 and is still a stadium or is still ongoing, which is something that needs to be looked at. But seated where I'm seated will not be able to identify which one is that out of that. But secondly, on complaints per province. If you look at that graph versus the number of outreaches, because what I've heard is that these outreaches are planned in such a way that they need to respond to that particular graph. But if that is the case, you look at Limpopo, you've got 15, and Limpopo is second in terms of registering complaints. Ne? It's second, but...
Third.
Okay. Yeah, it's third, ne? But when you go to your outreaches, Limpopo is number one. Now, that correlation does not tally. It was going to make sense to me if the highest province visited in terms of outreach was in Mpumalanga, so that you bring about the balance. But my question will be in this way: what is your analysis in terms of getting this complaints largely from the three provinces? Is it because Gauteng, for example, in Tshwane, that's where you have your offices and quite a number of bases there, and Cape Town, that will be in the Western Cape, that's where you have your Navy, your Air Force here, and some of the bases, and you go to Free State, where there's little complaint, and I know there are quite a number of bases that are there. You move to Limpopo. Other provinces like Northern Cape that are deep within the inland of the country, where there are no borders and there are no sea and there are no quite a number of bases. No, I hear the Navy operates in the sea, so it will not operate in Lesotho as Honorable Mike suggested. So, yeah, what are the analysis for those? And I think, lastly, just to request, if you can share with us that information right now in terms of categorizing your human resource. You have categorized it in terms of male, African. We are interested in understanding the number of youth as well within your structure, so we can see whether you are responding to the challenges that are faced by the country, or you are satisfied that they are Africans and they are aging, they are old, you don't care. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just looking through the percentage of complaints against the army, that seems to be, the highest. But I'm trying to get, is it possible to tell us those complaints are related to one? Because now, if you think of the army, you think of the people who are always carrying, baton, boots, all that. Are they related to hitting the people, killings, whatsoever? Just to say, the majority of those cases, at least one, see what is happening. And the second one is relates to the outreach, to the people. I'm trying to see that what method do you use when you go out, for ordinary people, to be able to go and listen. Because the majority of the people normally in, I'm sorry to say that, but it happens, they are pushed by the army. It depends where they are, And most people, who are not taken, seriously, are the people in rural areas or in towns whatsoever. I'm not trying to, to say that, but I'm putting, the fact on the table that when you do those outreaches, what method do you use? To invite or announce that you will be in that particular. So that just the people, special allowance, they can't even afford, even the transport to go to the venues where you want them. And also when it comes to education, you know, we are still at behind. Our people, you know, they still need someone, I mean, who make this thing, you know, known to them. What is that a military ombudsman? It's like a terminology when you go to other people in rural areas. What is that you are doing to make sure that, I mean, our people, they know what are you representing? And, you know, all for me, the case is, say if someone, I mean, is, you say this is terminated, it was terminated in 2014, but to date the matter is not finalized. Now imagine if maybe the decision to terminate the status of the person was wrong, but look the suffering from 2014 to date, even if that person is compensated for it, but look, I mean, at the suffering. What I mean is that, well, how do you prioritize your cases when in regard to those situations? I also noticed, I mean, that some of the, I mean, the complaints are referred to the South African military administration, that South African military health services something. Now, if you look at that, it's about the health conditions. If those cases are delayed, you know, what's the feeling of that person waiting maybe for 3, 4, 5 years? Because if I look here, if you say, I mean, in 2017 to 2018, you were able to complete, I mean, 664 cases. But when it comes to 2018-2019, it's only 246. It means now the graph, I mean, is going down. Now, that question now, you know, if one may say, if nothing is done by now, or, I mean, if a plan is not in place to see how do you, I mean, get, I mean, a turnaround strategy that will make sure that, I mean, things go back to normal, would mean more people are going to suffer because of, I mean, a delay in, I mean, in handling those cases. So I would appreciate, I mean, if maybe you can, I mean, also, I mean, clarify, I mean, based on those effects. Yeah. No, thank you, Chairperson.
Yeah,
so,
thank you, Chairperson. Just two points on. I see in the mission, it is written that to provide an independent, impartial, expeditious complaint resolution process for serving and the former members of SANDF. I'm just thinking about the former non-statutory forces who were demobilized by the force number. They fall under this category. Those that never served, I mean, yeah, they were demobilized. And it will be very interesting to, if it's possible, to get the number of complaints that might be from those that were in the non-judicial. If you have that number, because I think might be in the majority, I mean, if we check and then maybe it can give us an idea or what's happening. And then the second question, I'm just interested in your research and development section or division. What are you actually researching? Just to understand
that Mutia's question and Shelebe's question, they point to the fact that you would need slides by that gives age analysis of the cases. In other words, when you present next time, we need the age analysis of the cases. In other words, so that we keep track on how expeditiously you conclude, I hope I'm using the term correct, you conclude the cases. Yeah, you turn around time. All right, over to you now.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, members of the Portfolio Committee. With regards to the complaints rejected by the Minister or reviewable decisions, procedurally, the military ombud cannot review their own reports. So when we provide a report with findings and recommendations, we communicate to the complainant. We also state that in the event that they are not satisfied with the outcome, they've got a right to review it in the High Court, because we cannot review our own reports. With the few reports that we have that were not implemented, there are very few, and we've got a different approach now, because we have noticed that when we recommended, some of the recommendations were unimplementable. We must admit, for instance, if you ask that somebody must be taken out of a position where he was promoted to replace that person with the complainant, when that person has already worked for about a year or so, we are also going to fetch another complaint. So we have got a different way now of finding solutions than before. So some of the recommendations that we've had before were not really implementable. However, we cannot go back and change now, because we cannot review our reports. So there are those few that we might have produced unimplementable reports, which I think even the minister will find difficult to endorse, that because they are implementable in that way. So a complainant who is not happy has got a recourse to review our report in the High Court. And now the second one.
We're not here with you. We have presented the report to say he was unfairly dismissed, and therefore the record is that he must be reinstated. That the one is now in office, you know, must not change the outcome of your findings. It's not your problem. How they settle the matter in the department is none of your business. He must be restored. If he's not in a position to be restored, he must be bought out. And he must be paid
and out of, they must find him a job elsewhere. So I'm trying to understand this unemployability that you're talking about. I think you said it a wrong example.
We've had instances, a few reports where we said Mr. X has been unduly fired, and then he complains, and then we say he must go back to where he was, when there is actually somebody in that post for 2 years. So if the complaint has been handled for 2 years, we say he must go back there. But when we issue that recommendation, they can't remove that person. That's why I'm saying it's unimplementable. We are now finding other ways, like you are mentioning, that we are settling him, he must be given another position somewhere. Unlike before, when we said he must go back to the position in which he was. That's how the unimplementability works.
Maybe let's get it clear what is your role, because your role is to deal with disputes and make recommendations. Now, what you are explaining is part of the implementation, which is not your role. If you recommend that the chair is unfairly dismissed and already there's a chair, it's none of your business. Your recommendation is that he must go back to his position. Now, those that are responsible in the case of the army, for example, they will have to find a way how to deal with that matter. And they must not influence you on the basis of their challenge, because it takes your independence. Now, they are telling you how to recommend because of their challenges of implementing your record. There's nothing wrong with your recommendation. But now you are losing your independence, your legitimacy of investigating and fight and giving recommendations on the basis of their situation. You are not the creator of their challenges. You never said they must fire that person and Julie in the first place and replace that particular person. When you finally arrive at the determination or recommendation that the person must be taken back, now you are influenced otherwise and you agree. You need to stamp your foot and do your job. Otherwise, you must close shop and just say, no, do it. They can deal with this matter, because in any event, your recommendations are not taken seriously.
I think also with that, it speaks to the turnaround time or the prioritizing of cases. That if you have such a case, how do you then have a kind of case and say, let me deal with this, because also it has those cases, it will, you know, bring those challenges where people will be placed in positions, and now when you have to recommend that a person must go back to a business or in someone that's going to do. So I was just saying, when you respond to this, also speak to the prioritization of your cases.
Yes, can you deal with it? Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. So perhaps to answer this question, we should give a case that exists. It's of a member who was unfairly terminated, and we recommended that he be reinstated in the position which he previously occupied. Now, as Acting Ombudsman has indicated, that post had already been filled by somebody else. But the complainant and the defense force then provided an alternative post, but the complainant refused to be placed in the alternative position. And so he took the literal interpretation of our report to say the military ombud said put me in the position I was before this unfair termination. I want my position back. So that is why we then said, what lesson can we learn from that in terms of how we put our recommendations? Then we say, we should rather recommend that there should be a suitable position found for the complainant without being too instructive, as we did in that report, because the complainant literally refused to get an alternative position to a point where he took us to the public protector and said, we are failing to implement our recommendation, and is subsequently taking the matter to court. So for us, it was more about how do we phrase it in such a way that it is not restrictive, but it also allows for the remedy, the complainant still gets a redress, but in a situation where it might not be practical for him to be reinstated in the position that he was, but an alternative suitable position.
The latest part is reinstated in his original position or in equivalent.
We've noticed that those that the department do not implement are those that we had a specific recommendation to say the person must go there. We've had a situation where another official went to a position and said when there was somebody, because he wanted to go to that position when there was already somebody, and the department could not remove. So there were two people in one post, and he refused to be taken elsewhere.
What we're saying is not your opinion. You have made your recommendations or findings about the reinstatement of a fellow was unfairly dismissed, and it ends there. How they handle it is another issue. You may in future make that adjustment to say original position or alternative, what's called the equivalent position, but it doesn't take away the fact that you work on this process. Okay?
The trends we suggest the distribution of there was a question why less in other provinces. Well, that is the role of R&D. We have got this R&D to do our analysis for us for such things. Why are we having less in other provinces? Why are we having more? And what is the reaction of the people when we have done an outreach? So the R&D helps us with the analysis and to inform us what are the trends and what should be done when we have had an outreach. Do we have a positive outcome of complaints after we've done the outreach and he makes recommendations to us? So that is the role of R&D. But we cannot say for now why are we having less in other provinces. We assume that it's because we are located in Gauteng, and we also assume that in the past, especially this year under review, we've had three pilot projects in Limpopo, Western Cape and Free State. That's why there is now an upsurge in complaints from those areas. There was a question about the cases that we received over the 7 years and the rollovers. I must say, the picture looks different now. You will see when we come and present this year's report, because we've got a new system, new complaints handling manual, and we've got a new emphasis in the forum meetings that we have with the DOD. So the picture will look different now, and we have been chasing all the outstanding matters, especially the long outstanding matters, such that we don't have matters that are longer than 2 years now. We've finalized all of them. The last ones came out in the past month. So we are trying to chase all the old cases because we've got a new system, and also we have got a new engagement system with the DOD, because we did not get cooperation in the past. We thought it's because of lack of communication, but things have improved now.
So you don't have the age analysis currently. Maybe let's find it in our report, that this must be broken down by age, and let's give the age analysis so that we follow it up. It's fine if you don't have this information. So we'll check it for the moment. And then move to the next issue.
There was a question about the Act not having governance structures. The Office of the Ombud does not have those governance structures, because we are a line item within the Department of Defense. Therefore, we don't have an internal audit, we don't have a risk manager, because we get those functions from the DOD, and our money is handled in the DOD. And we have sought advice from GTEC on how we can achieve some sort of autonomy so that we are able to function. And also GTEC, in their report, they pointed out to our lack of these structures, and therefore we cannot have certain accountability. We cannot be doing certain things, especially financial, to a large amount, because we don't have these structures. I would like also to see your legal opinion in this regard. We have been approaching the DOD, especially the sector, because the minister said we can get a few things to do in our office that would point out to some autonomy, but not complete independence, because of the way we are situated. There are certain things that we can do on our own in the office, and we are negotiating to have authorities to do certain small things within the office without depending from the DOD. Cases over 7 years. Okay, we said that the picture will look different now, because we are chasing the old cases, and when next present, we'll present the age of the cases. Complaints to province, I've spoken about R&D and outreach. Okay, we don't have the exact statistics now, but we can say for sure that the majority of staff in our office is the youth. It's only a few of us, but I don't say, but the majority, a great majority in the office is the youth. Next time, we are going to present that picture. Percentage of cases against the army. Well, it is in relation to promotions, training, and other service benefits. And it will be a large percentage against the army, because the army is larger than other services. So the percentage of complaints against the army are related to conditions of service. There was a question about the outreach. What methods do we use? When we go to outreaches, we normally start with the community radio station, and then usually we go to the areas where there are military bases. But we have recently started with the public outreaches. We are in partnership with the regular force continuation fund management. When they go to do outreaches to the retired people, we partner with them and we do a whole day presentation with the RFMCF. And the way we present, we invite through the OCs that will be coming, and then we get the members that are in that particular base gathered together, and we present to them. With regards to the members of the public, we have started the outreaches around Pretoria, around where the military bases are in St. Julian and Littleton. We put up our stands and we communicate with the members of the public, especially in those different around the military bases in Pretoria. With regards to the same matters, we have not really had issues about the standard of health. The matters from SEMS that we have are cases by SEMS members, nurses and doctors, regarding their occupation-specific dispensation payments. There is a lot of discrepancies in that area, and as a result, the minister has summoned an audit to be done on this, because most health professionals are complaining that they have not been paid according to the required OSD standards. So the minister has requested a general audit, but it's taking time to get finalized. As a result, we are also sitting with these complaints, and they are waiting for this audit that the minister has ordered. We have had an engagement with the Surgeon General in the past 2 weeks. He is also going to push with the Chief HR so that the audits get finalized, so that all these people can get sorted. With regards to the question of the non-statutory forces and the mob members, we indeed have our mandate is for members and former members of the SANDF. The NSF and the demobilized members are catered for by the military veterans. They've got a mandate to cater for NSF members and demobilized members, because our mandate talks to the former members of the SANDF.
Just the last question about why the focus on outreach in Limpopo. This was in response to the previous financial year, because we looked at what was the trend in 17-18, and we had the lowest number of complaints. So in response that we plan for 18-19 to target Limpopo. But I guess we'll have to find another way maybe to do that analysis on a quarterly basis in year, and then see how we can correlate the two.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Yes, I'm not too sure if you've answered me. I'll come back to they've answered actually this question on the nature of complaints by, against the SNDF or police soldiers by the people. In other words, in your analysis, I know you refer to R&D, but R&D is part of you, it's not a body outside you. And to say, generally, the issues are these, so that we understand. I can see the majority in terms of gender, males appear to be the more. I thought it was the community be the other way around. And I don't know what it probably is. I think it goes to this question. Okay. And then, Mr. Maka, have your questions been answered?
No, just a follow-up. Thank you, Chairperson. I think that there must be something wrong with my spectacles. That's my spectacles. Because I thought they were young even themselves. Now when they okay. In relation to the autonomy, I'm not sure whether autonomy is the right term. I think we're discussing. Yeah, I don't know whether they want autonomy or they want independence. It's going to confuse me because maybe they've got some sort of autonomy for now. But I would rather say independence. I think it's not for the first time we talk about it. We even suggested that they must go and look at the act itself and then suggest what needs to be added or amended. Because if they don't do that, we definitely can't help. They must come up with and show the community that this is what gives us a problem. So that at least we can start looking at it and say, maybe, and they must say it's because of this clause and that clause, if we add this, then that might be right. Because with us sitting here, I don't see us looking at the act and start to amend anything, and because it doesn't make any sense, or if they are waiting for their money from from defense, and they keep on saying go back to defense, yeah, let them reinstate you. I mean, defense might say, all right, we give them too much money. That's why they are giving us a lot of trouble. So I think the ball is in their head. And one other question I wanted to ask: their funds, are they ring fenced? If they are ring fenced, can they determine how much according to their budget? Or I mean, if that is not the case, then you are as good as a directorate within DOD, and I don't think that is what we expect from the ombuds. A question: can you initiate investigations on your own without receiving any complaint from anybody? You just see, or there's a snake in the grass somewhere and you start looking for the snake. Can you do that? Or must you sit there and wait? Because if that is the case, then people might say you are afraid of sitting and not doing anything. That's why you go out on outreach looking for complaints. So can you initiate your own according to the act? I don't know. Thank you, sir.
This, on the independence issue, we've sought a legal opinion. I'll suggest that we discuss it when the legal section presents a legal opinion to us. So that would obviously touch on the issues of governments, the issues that they have raised. That's fine. Maybe let's leave it at that for now. And but there are these two questions that they have raised. It's Shelembe's question, which is outstanding, and the last one from Mr. Martin. And that concludes the discussion.
2 minutes.
We've only had, in terms of the steps, three cases from the members of the public. The cases were brought by members of the public on behalf of former members of the SANDF. We have not had, as yet, cases of complaints against the members of the Defence Force in the execution of their duties. With regards to the independence...
Sorry, the outreach, the operations, the that bar, I'm sure you're on it, yeah, it's outreach. What is that about? Complaints per province, how they register the highest number of cases, this is followed by the Western Cape, the Bongo, and then the Free State, in the third and fourth places. The violence spread amongst the remainder of the Western Cape being the lowest. This could be as a result of the population density and as well as the presence of the bases for the various arms of service in their respective provinces. And the same, we only received three.
From the members of the public.
And these ones are
the by members of the SANDF, active members. We've got cases that we receive from active members, former members, and members of the public. So we've got few matters that we receive from the members of the public. And those matters, they were representing the former members.
So on page, I might have shown you the wrong page. And the number of complaints per service member of the public, are you referring to that one?
Yes.
Only three?
Yes.
Oh, I see. Only three.
We have started doing outreaches to, we have not been doing outreaches to the public in the past. We have started this year doing outreaches to the public.
That's right.
And as I indicated, we are planning to do an outreach here in Cape Town because of the deployment in Cape Town.
All right. The last one being the market case question.
I'll ask Mr. Makhane.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Makhane, the budget of the military ombud previously was floated under the legal in the budget of the legal in the defense. However, in the pursuit now of the public entity status, we realize that because Section 10 of the Act says it must be funded out of monies appropriated by Parliament. However, we realize that since you are not a public entity, Parliament cannot appropriate, say, the same way they do with AMSCO, where there'll be a transfer payment. To AMSCO, because we don't have a bank, we don't have anything. However, we said in the interim, because we are placed under legal, let us move out of legal, be created as a line item within the budget, a line item. And that doesn't give us any sense of independence. However, it creates us as, let's say, as a division, or if you may, within the defense. I don't know if I answered.
So they have full control over the allocation.
Yes.
Given to them.
Yes.
Because now a line item. Let's discuss on the focus on the independence, because I think it's linked to the financial independence, the government, all the children. Yes, you spark the ethic members to come sharp on the autonomy issue. So, colleagues, I think we are done.
Well, the conclusion is that I'm very, very concerned about, I mean, the things that Congress is fully dealing with the employees or former employees within the department of now, so for the public outside, you know, there's nothing. So if they have, say, problems against, like, I mean, say, or anything, so they don't endure to complain to your department. But now if there is nothing, it tells them, I mean, they are not.
I think, Shilembe, you've raised the point before. It's marketing, that they have not marketed themselves so widely so as to provoke issues from the public. I think we find that there are issues, but people prefer to report. They report them to the police because they're not aware that there's a clash like this. And I think that's a matter that we must follow it up as we deal with that. Alright? The meeting is closed. The meeting is closed.
The last question. All initiated investigation in terms of the Act, we cannot do our own initiated investigations. However, we have, this is one of the areas where we are seeing an area of possible amendment. We have written to the minister to request her to allow us to start the process of legislative review. So this will be one of the issues that we will address. And also lastly, I would like to share with you our report that we got from the GTEC when we requested them to advise us on the status of the office. So I'll send that report to you. It's also here, we can send it electronically. They analyzed us as an institution because we wanted to achieve a status of an independent institution. So they've addressed all that. I will send it.
So we have a date for that discussion. So you can share it with us.
All right, colleagues, with that, thank you very much for the fruitful meeting. And we have been highlighting matters to move along, colleagues. Right? Sure, thanks. Agreed. Tuesday is a visit to two military hospitals on Tuesday in the morning. Tomorrow is joint meeting from 12:30. Yes. Tomorrow.